Welcome to Brave, the Bible teaching ministry of Dr. Jeff Schwarzentraub, senior pastor of Brave Church in Denver, Colorado. Today on Brave, Pastor Jeff continues his message, God's Plan for Singles, Maximizing Your Faithfulness, from the series Family Fortified, and shows you how to maximize your faithfulness as a single and live with purpose, whether or not marriage is in your future. Before we get started with today's teaching, though, we invite you to check out PastorJeff.com to find more resources to help you grow in your walk. Now let's hear from Pastor Jeff as he brings us today's teaching from God's Word.
Being a Christian, if you have a sexual desire, guess who gave you that desire? God. In Genesis chapters 1 and 2, God designed gender, God designed sexuality, God designed marriage, and God said, that's very good. And in Genesis 2, the husband and the wife were both naked, and guess what? They had no shame. God does not blush at sexuality. God wrote an entire book, Song of Solomon, on sexuality, which one day I'll teach, and I'm always wondering, how am I going to get through chapter 1? I mean, the book starts out, oh, that he may kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for his love is more delightful than wine. Two things evangelicals don't talk about a lot, kissing and comparing it to drinking wine. And that's how the book starts. And then it gets interesting. God doesn't blush at sexuality. If you're a young boy or a young girl and you're having feelings as you're going through puberty, that's normal. But what God created was God created a container to house sexuality, and the container he created is called marriage. Because sexuality was not designed to please you. Sexuality was designed for you to please somebody else. That's why anything that falls shy of sexuality outside of marriage, where it's a husband and wife pleasing each other, it's sin. Pornography's sin. Every single time, because it's all about pleasing you. Sex outside of marriage, sin every single time. Why? Because if you're a believer, the only place that the Holy Spirit shows up and makes it Holy Spirit worship-filled sex is in the container of marriage. And in marriage, God's like, I created this, go for it. This is great. This is how you're connecting. This is how you're growing. This is how you're building. Don't blush. It's good. It's great. And I say that because so many people grow up in church and here's what they hear. Sex is bad. 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 I do. Sex is good. Well, you can't make the shift. It's good now, but it's so good that God says it's so good. It's so powerful. It's so sticky. It's so lasting that the only place that you can have this relationship and not get hurt is in the context of marriage. Amen. That's why the Bible says all the other sins you sin, you commit outside your body, but sexuality is different. It's like if you glue a piece of white construction paper to black construction paper and you let it sit overnight and then you try to rip it apart, you're going to have specks of black on the white and specks of white on the black. And those of you that know that have engaged in sexual intercourse outside of marriage and you didn't plan on getting married, you got the, it rips apart. It hurts because God designed marriage to be so sticky. So God's not saying sex is bad. God says, I designed it. It's really, really good. And every married person here should say, amen, right? But it's so good and it's so powerful and it's so sticky and it's so lasting that I created a container for it. It's called marriage. And here's what Paul says. If you don't have a desire for that, that's okay. I mean, in 1 Corinthians 7, he says, this is why you need to have your own wife, and wives, you need to have your own husband. And when you do get married, your job is to frequently please one another sexually. The only time you should be taking time off is to spend extra time in prayer, and only for a season, so then you can come back together so you won't be tempted by the enemy. It's good. But he says, I'm not telling you that you have to do this, Paul says, because in 1 Corinthians 7, 6, he says, I say this by way of concession, not as command, yet I wish all men were even as I myself am. In other words, I wish all guys could just stay single and give full devotion to God. However, each man has his own gift from God, one in this manner and another that. But I say to the unmarried and to the widow that it's good for them if they remain even as I am. It's good to be single. But if they do not have self-control, let them marry, for it's better to marry than burn with passion. If you have passion, it's not for your dating life. It's for marriage. That's what God says. And here's why it's so important. I mean, did you ever have rooms in your house growing up where you weren't allowed to go in? They just kind of sat there. They were like for special guests or special times. Like you rarely ever used the room. Like when Kim and I got married, we were given all sorts of gifts in the registry, which is kind of unique because I found that the husband doesn't get to put his name in or what he wants. It's usually just the bride that puts what she wants. And so there's towels and flowers and, you know, different things and China. So we started receiving gifts. We got China, a big plate, a smaller plate, a cup, a saucer. China. Just the pattern we wanted, apparently. And so we got it, and it stayed in a box. And I remember when we got married, I was asking Kim, you know, we're having dinner one night, I'm like, let's get it out. She said, no. I said, why not? She goes, these are too valuable. I was like, well, what are you going to do with them? Check this out. She said, well, we need to get a China cabinet. I said, well, what do you mean? She's like, these are so valuable. They can't just sit anywhere. They have to be seen. So we bought a China cabinet and we still didn't use them. But the cool thing about a China cabinet is when you come over, you can see the china through the cabinet because it has a window. And I always thought when people came to our house, it was like looking upon this great china that was so good that you can't even eat off of it. Right? And that is how God designed sexuality. It's so good. It's so valuable. It's so special that it can only be reserved for a special thing. And the only place that you can have that level of intimacy and not get hurt is in a marriage where you are building one another up in Christ, where there's permanence to it, where there's no fear of one or the other leaving, where you're vowed before God saying, I'm with you and I'm only with you and I'm just with you. And God says, that's good. That's why I gave it to you. And it's going to create a stickiness in your marriage that you only share with that one person and nobody else. And that's how God designed it. And God said, it's very good. It's very, very good. But the Corinthians didn't get that. I mean, in chapter 6, I mean, you got this congregation that were saying things like this in 1 Corinthians 6:12, all things are lawful for me. You know, I can do whatever I want. I'm saved. Jesus will forgive me. I can get away with this. I mean, who cares if I'm on a date and I'm having sex? I mean, God forgives. And Paul says, well, all things are lawful, but not all things are profitable. And all things may be lawful for me, but I will not be mastered by anything. And the Corinthians, which was like the Las Vegas or Hollywood of the day, would say things like this: food is for the stomach and the stomach is for food. You know, here's what they're saying. They were saying, you know, food's enjoyable. And when I get hungry, I'm fulfilling a God-given need and I'm satisfied. So therefore, let me tell you this, when I have a sexual need, it's fulfilling a God-given desire because he gave me this and then I'll be satisfied. And he says, sex and food are not the same. He said, because when you engage in sexual intercourse, you become one with the person that you engage with. You wouldn't take Christ and unite him with a prostitute, would you? If you're a believer in Christ, he goes everywhere you go. And that's why a one-night stand is way more than a one-night stand, because it's not just a one-night stand and it's over. You just joined yourself as one with that person, but then you didn't plan on staying with that person, so you got ripped apart and you got your heart all messed up because you came together in a non-marriage marriage to become one with somebody you were never one with in the first place, and then you pulled apart and you wonder why your heart is wrecked, because God didn't intend it that way. And I got to say this before we move on. There's grace and forgiveness for all of it. There just is. And I would say this for some of you that are sitting here that would say, I never had the chance to remain innocent because this happened to me when I was a little girl or a little boy. There's grace for that too. And there's healing for that too. You just need to know that. But it doesn't change the standard. The reason it hurts so bad is because God set a standard that the only way you don't get hurt is you remain a virgin until you get married and then you just stay with that one person till death do you part. That's God's standard.
You're listening to Brave. And today, Pastor Jeff is sharing his message, God's Plan for Singles, Maximizing Your Faithfulness, from the series Family Fortified, showing you how to maximize your faithfulness as a single and live with purpose, whether or not marriage is in your future. We'll get back to Pastor Jeff in just a moment. But first, generous friends like you make programs like this one possible. And when you give a gift in support of Pastor Jeff Ministries today, you're helping spread biblical truth to a world in need. Simply visit us at PastorJeff.com to give. Once again, that website is PastorJeff.com. Now let's get back to today's message to listen to the conclusion of this teaching from God's Word.
But it doesn't change the standard. The reason it hurts so bad is because God set a standard that the only way you don't get hurt is you remain a virgin until you get married, and then you just stay with that one person till death do you part. That's God's standard. Now, you won't hear that from Hollywood. You won't hear that abstinence is cool. You won't hear that virginity is God's design. You'll hear that you're square, that you're weird, that you're stupid, that all these different things. But here's the deal. If you want to go down the broad road and you want to live immorally, you can find myriads of ways to do that. You want to go down that narrow road? It's a narrow road. Not everybody's going down that way. And because of that, that's why the enemy lies to you and says, you walk down that narrow road, you keep staying a virgin, I promise you there's no other virgins in the world but you. And he's a liar. He's a total liar. Because he just doesn't want you to walk with God and go all in. Here's the deal. You want to find your mate and you want to be single? Go all in with Jesus Christ. That's the best way to find him. Trust God's leading in your life. Trust his words in your life. The lie of the world is have all the sex now before you get married, because when you do, you'll never have enough sex. The Bible makes it clear that it's just the opposite. Wait until you're married and then have all the sex that you possibly can to satisfy one another in a loving relationship. That's God's design. Let me talk to those of you here who are living together, okay? Before you get up and leave and sweat about what I'm about to say. The reason you're living together is because there's part of God's design that feels good. And it's like, okay, we know it's good and we want to get married, but we're not married, but we're living together. What's God say? He says, you're wrong, and he's judging what you're doing. Stop living together. Like, when? Today. You're not living together anymore after today. Move out. Like, be done with it. If you said, yeah, but we love each other and want to get married, then I'm just going to go out on a limb. Here's what I tell you. Move out today. Come talk to one of our pastors. Say, we want to get married. We'll host the service here, like, in the next 2 weeks right after service. Wouldn't you like to be part of the wedding ceremony? Wouldn't you like to see that? Because there's forgiveness for that too, but you're never going to accomplish what God wants by living together and doing it opposite of what he wants. And if you say, well, I don't know that we're ready for that, then move out until you are. Well, who should move out? The guy. But it's my house. Then don't have her living there in the first place. Be a man. Honor the Lord. Do it right. If you really care about what God wants, then you'll do what he wants. And there's forgiveness for any sin in your past. Two wrongs don't make a right. Let me explain. Well, we've been dating and now we had sex, so I guess I'm trapped. We have to get married. No, you don't. There's forgiveness for that. And then there's walking in truth for a while and seeing what God wants to do. You're not trapped. Don't feel forced to come to the altar. I mean, if you're a bride and you're getting ready to walk down, your daddy's bringing you down, you're like, I'm not so sure. Don't walk down the aisle. If you're a guy and you're standing here with the pastor and like, I don't know, I'll walk you out. Like marriage is not the thing that you're like, I hope it works. It's a covenant before God till one of you dies. It's not something to play around with. Amen. It's a big deal. So trust is leading. And next week, we're going to talk about redemption in all sorts of ways of divorce and remarriage and widowing and all those different things. But here's the thing I would tell you, talk to a pastor. We'll help you. We'll provide answers for you. We'll show you, here's what God says and here's what he wants you to do. But God created everything and he created it good. Amen? So I've only met two guys in my entire life. I'm 53 now, that have told me to my face that I believe that they're called to live a single celibate life. I've met two. One is on the mission field in the Czech Republic, which is one of the hardest languages to learn. And as we've spent time together, and he's been a missionary for the last 30 years, he told me, I just want to learn the language. I want to share Jesus. I devote all my time. I don't feel like I'm missing out on anything. I feel like I'm giving God everything. I said, aren't you tempted? He's like, not really. I don't really want that. It feels like a burden to me. and one other guy that I know that has three doctorate degrees, one in theology, one in medicine, and one in as a research degree. And he practices medicine and teaches in a theological seminary and does different things. And he works about 14 hours a day and travels all over the country. And to him, it feels like a burden to get married. And I believe those two guys. And they're not around whining and complaining, where's my wife? But those are the only two guys I've met. Most guys I meet are like, dude, I want to get married. I want to get married. And here's how you know. Because when we do premarital counseling, when Kim and I have done premarital counseling, we'll ask people like the week before the wedding, what are you looking forward to? And the bride's like, the companionship and just being together and the wedding day. And it's going to be so fun. And then we look at the husband like, what are you looking forward to? He starts blushing like, can I tell you the truth? I'm looking forward to the wedding night, bro. Like, that's what I'm looking forward to. And there's nothing wrong with that because that's what God created. But here's the fact. You don't get a better marriage by practicing a lot of dating. You're better off if you've never dated. And you meet one and you just go make it work. Amen? That's point one. All right. We'll keep flying through this. Trust God's leading. Second is this, trust God's presence. Trust God's presence. When we trust his leading, we're hearing that the Lord is the one who goes ahead of you. Here's his presence. He will be with you. He's going to be with you. I mean, the Old Testament, when you see that God had his hand on somebody, it says this, the Lord was with him. The Lord was with him. The Lord was with you. You want the Lord's presence with you. And here's the reality. If you're born again through repentance and faith, the Spirit of God indwells you. And everywhere you go, that's where you take God. He goes on every single date with you. He goes in the back seat of every single car with you. He goes down to the basement when you say, we're just going to watch a movie with you. I mean, he goes everywhere with you. You're never alone. Fear not, for I am with you. I've called you by name. You're mine. I'm there. And here's what I would tell you. You need to experience God's presence as a single. Because if you don't experience God's presence as a single, you'll never experience his presence as a married person. God wants you to experience him. You say, well, how do I do that? Here's what I would say. Find a church that's a Bible-believing, Christ-exalting church. Find a place to serve in that church. Build friendships in the church. Learn how to share the gospel through the church. Go all in with Jesus in the church. Don't just show up and be like, wonder if there's any hot girls at that church. Don't do that, right? Go all in with Jesus and go all in with his mission for what he wants you to do so you know exactly what God's called you to as a single. We got too many confused singles that don't even know why they're placed on planet Earth, that then they want to get married to somebody else that doesn't know why they're on planet Earth. And because neither of them have a vision for their life, they get married and it's really, really hard. So if you think you're lonely now, get married. You can see how lonely marriage really feels, right? If you're an unsatisfied victim now, you're probably one of the most unattractive singles there is in the world. Don't play the victim of, I don't know what I'm going to do and I wish I were married and all that kind of stuff. Just pray, period. Just seek his face, experience his presence, fall more in love with Jesus all the time. And while you're single, use this time for three things. This is what you can do to maximize your time with the Lord, okay? Use this time to live on mission. Live on mission. Like, go all in with Jesus. If you get an opportunity to do a mission trip, do a mission trip. You get an opportunity to share the gospel in the city, go share the gospel in the city. You get the opportunity to witness to someone in your neighborhood, witness to someone in your neighborhood. You get an opportunity to bring people over to your house, bring people over to your house. Like, go all in with Jesus. Like, seek him and say, where do you want me to serve? I got all this time. I got all this energy. Like, what do you want me to do? And where do you want me to go? Like, I'll give you everything I have, Lord, as a single. And that's what I want. So go all in the mission. And the mission is to honor him, serve him, share the gospel, and build others up. And there's myriads of opportunity in every Bible-believing, Christ-exalting church. There's certainly myriads of opportunity here at Brave. Like, I want to get involved. I don't know how. Come talk to a pastor. We'll plug you in this week. We'll help you discover your unique abilities and unique gifts that God's given you and get you serving so that you're satisfied. So that's number one. Use this time to go all in and live on mission. Number two, use this time to discover your ministry. What's unique about you? How are you going to live out your kingdom calling? Is it going to be in vocational ministry? Is it going to be as a doctor, a teacher, a nurse, a coach? Like, what are you wanting to do? And men especially, if you don't know that, stop dating. Because if you don't know what you're doing, guys, and you're dating, the only reason you're dating is to put your eyes on somebody else rather than to keep your eyes on Jesus. And ladies, don't go after a guy that doesn't know where he's going. You'll be miserable. When you ask a guy, where are you going to be in 5 years? Where are you going to be in 10 years? Oh, I don't know. Maybe it's still at my parents' house. You don't want to marry that guy. Have him know where he's going to go. What's he doing? What's his goals? What's his passion? What's his track record? What's his trajectory? What's his unique gift? Why is he on the earth? He should be able to articulate all those things to you. And don't follow somebody that's not going anywhere. Amen? So discover your unique ability, your unique ministry, the way God's wired you. And then use this time to pray for your mate. Ask God to bring you somebody that's going in the direction that you're going. Because if you're both doing that, there's a guy that's all in with Jesus and he knows who he is, and there's a gal that's all in with Jesus and she knows who she is, God will bring you alongside at just the right time. Be like, we fit, let's go. That's what God does. God brings the woman to the man. He always does that. Like, I'm 40, he hasn't done that for me. Trust the Lord's leading and trust the Lord's timing and trust the Lord's presence. And if you're satisfied with the things of God and you're content in him, he may just surprise you at just the right time. I find that as I walk with the Lord, it's never in my timing. It's never my way. I met my wife at the age of 32. If somebody would have told me you're going to get married at 34 when I was a teenager, I would have cried. But upon hindsight, what I realize is sometimes when the Lord takes time to give you what you've been praying for, it's because he's building things inside of you to make them better. When Elizabeth was praying for a son and she could not get pregnant, she couldn't get pregnant, she couldn't get pregnant, she couldn't get pregnant. When she finally got pregnant, she gave birth to the forerunner, John the Baptist, of the Lord Jesus Christ in his ministry. When Hannah was weeping tears in 1 Samuel 1 because she couldn't get pregnant, she couldn't get pregnant, she couldn't get pregnant. When she did, she gave birth to the first prophet of the entire nation, Samuel. When God takes his time, it's because he's building things in your life. Looking back on my life, had I been married 10 years earlier, I would not have been involved in ministry to the same degree that I was. There's no way I would have gone and got the education that I did because I was going to school 7 or 8 hours a day and serving the Lord full-time in ministry. I wouldn't have had time for a wife. Wasn't thinking about it that way at the time. And just being totally candid with you, there were some things that the Lord needed to redeem in my life over the years because I didn't live this teaching nor hear this teaching when I was growing up. And he needed to redeem some areas before I could meet the right person. And I poured into him and I was satisfied in him. And when I was, there was my wife. And I didn't even ask for it. So don't be worried about the timing of when things happen. Trust God's presence in your life. Seek his face. Come to the prayer meetings. Journal. Go after God. Experience him personally, publicly, privately. Trust his presence. Number three is this. Can you please, for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ, trust God's ability? Trust his ability. The Lord is the one who goes ahead of you. He will lead you. He will be with you. That's his presence. What does it say about God? He will not fail you or forsake you. Do you believe God's ability? He won't fail you or forsake you. He's strong. He's all powerful. He created the world in 6 literal days. He flooded the entire globe while saving 8 people. He gave his only begotten son as incarnate flesh into a teenage girl who gave birth to the Savior of the world, who said, "For with my God, nothing will be impossible." Stop believing the lie. He cannot bring you a mate. When God created Eve from Adam's rib, he brought her the same day. When Isaac met Rebecca, he married her the same day. I mean, think about this. If God had the ability and strength to lead Noah to build an ark to save humanity, if he could lead Moses back to Israel to save Egypt, if he could use David to slay Goliath, or Elijah to destroy the prophets of Baal, or Joseph and Mary to raise the son, the Lord Jesus Christ, or Paul to share the gospel around the world, do you think it's possible he could bring you a mate?
Thanks for listening to Brave. That was Pastor Jeff with his message, God's Plan for Singles, Maximizing Your Faithfulness, from the series Family Fortified, showing you how to maximize your faithfulness as a single and live with purpose, whether or not marriage is in your future. Before we say goodbye, we want to remind you that when you give a gift to keep teachings like this one going out to you and others, you're helping spread biblical truth to a world in need. simply visit us at PastorJeff.com to give. That's PastorJeff.com. And while you're there, be sure to sign up for email updates from Brave to be among the first to hear about new resources to equip you in your walk. Thanks again for joining us today.